Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, April 23rd, 2026. We'll start with an article on the front page, headlined Earth Day, Education, Growing Knowledge, Warrensburg Latham Second Graders Dig In for Earth Day, by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Warrensburg Latham second grader Daxon Asadera is learning how to grow vegetables. There's the stem, then the four leaves grow, or maybe two, he said. Then the blossom, or the flower, grows, then the full fruit, or vegetables. With a raised garden bed located near the school's playground, Daxon placed the plant in the corner of the garden where he could easily tend to it. But I don't know what it is, he said, knowing only that it would be a vegetable. In honor of Earth Day, second grade teacher Karen Futen spent Wednesday with her students planting flowers and vegetable seedlings in the raised garden beds. The gardens have been a favorite Earth Day event for approximately 4 years. Every year, my second graders plant vegetable seeds. Then it sprouts and we plant it in the garden, Futen said. The lessons don't stop during the summer break. We watch the life cycle of it, Futen said about the garden produce. The students are encouraged to return to the gardens for watering and weeding. In the fall, the new third graders return to reap what they sowed. They see the life cycle in action of a plant, Futen said. This year, second graders, including students in Carla Miller, Kristen Price, and Futen classrooms, planted the vegetable seeds approximately 3 weeks ago. Earth Day is the ideal day to plant the seedlings in the garden, according to the second graders. The earth is starting to wake up, said Braxton Ewing, and we want to make our earth beautiful and pretty. During his classroom lesson, Braxton learned his cucumber seed would have to wait before the seedling, now with roots, stems, and leaves, could be moved to the outdoor garden. You have to wait until it can grow, he said. I didn't know how long it would take, but it was quick. In the past, grants would help fund the lesson plan. This year, Decatur Compost supplied the dirt, while the Macon County Farm Bureau provided the flowers and seeds. Nancy McAfee was invited again to the Earth Day event after she helped her granddaughter's class last year. I enjoy planting, and I enjoy kids, the retired teacher said. So, this is the perfect combo. Gardening doesn't come naturally to some children, McAfee witnessed. We definitely had to teach some kids how to dig a hole and put in a plant, she said. Others, you could tell that they had done it at home before. Third grader Carolyn Avioli said she enjoyed preparing and planting the garden last year. She returned throughout the summer and in the fall to see the fruits of her labor. The most successful was probably the tomatoes, she said. Green beans were harvested by her classmate, Chase Bessonette. I cooked them, he said about his healthy meal. We had tomatoes on the side with some rice. Iran seizes ships in strait, by Steve Holland, Parisa Hafezi, and Saad Saeed. Reuters, Washington. Iran seized two ships in the Strait of Hormuz on Wednesday, tightening its grip on the strategic waterway after U.S. President Donald Trump called off attacks indefinitely, with no sign of peace talks restarting. Iran's semi-official Tasnim news agency said the Revolutionary Guard seized two vessels for maritime violations and escorted them to Iranian shores. It was the first time Iran seized ships since the war began at the end of February. The Revolutionary Guard also warned any disruption to order and safety in the strait would be considered a red line, Tasnim said. Earlier, a British maritime security agency reported three ships came under fire. Trump said in a statement on social media late Tuesday that the U.S. agreed to a request by Pakistani mediators to hold our attack on the country of Iran until such time as their leaders and representatives can come up with a unified proposal and discussions are concluded, one way or the other. But even as he announced what appeared to be a unilateral ceasefire extension, Trump also said he would continue the U.S. Navy's blockade of Iran's trade by sea. The U.S. fired on and seized an Iranian cargo vessel Saturday and boarded a huge Iranian oil tanker on Tuesday in the Indian Ocean. Iran considers the U.S. blockade an act of war and said as long as it continues, it will not lift its closure of the strait, which caused a global energy crisis. In a show of defiance, Iran showcased some of its ballistic weapons, a parade in Tehran on Tuesday evening, with images on state TV showing large crowds waving Iranian flags and a banner in the background with a fist choking off the strait. Captions read, "Indefinitely under Iran's control," and "Trump could not do a damn thing," referring to the waterway. A setback. Pakistan, which has acted as a mediator, was still trying to bring the sides together for negotiations after both failed to show up for last-ditch talks on Tuesday before the two-week-old ceasefire had been due to expire. "We were all prepared for the talks. The stage was set," a Pakistani official briefed on the preparations told Reuters. "If you ask me, honestly, it was a setback we were not expecting because the Iranians never refused. They were up to come and join, and they still are." Another Pakistani source who was involved in the talks said Pakistan was still working very hard to bridge that conflict, talk to each side with their sensitivities in mind. There was no response early Wednesday to Trump's ceasefire announcement from senior Iranian officials, though some initial reactions from Tehran suggested Trump's comments were being treated skeptically. Tasnim said Iran didn't ask for a ceasefire extension and repeated Tehran's threats to break the U.S. blockade by force. Ship damaged. Throughout the war, Iran has effectively shut the strait to ships other than its own by attacking vessels that attempt to transit without its permission. About a fifth of global oil and liquefied natural gas normally passes through the waterway. On Wednesday, Britain's Maritime Security Agency, UKMTO, said at least three container ships reported being hit by gunfire in the strait. The master of one ship reported being approached by an Iranian gunboat northeast of Oman on Wednesday, the agency said. The vessel came under fire from guns and rocket-propelled grenades, and its bridge was heavily damaged, though there were no reports of casualties or environmental damage. Two other ships said they came under fire about 8 nautical miles west of Iran, with no reported injuries. Iran condemned the U.S. Navy intercepting Iranian ships at sea as part of its blockade, accusing the U.S. of piracy at sea and state terrorism. Key differences. With his announcement on Tuesday, Trump again pulled back at the last moment from warnings to bomb Iran's power plants and bridges, a threat condemned by the United Nations and others as potentially constituting war crimes. Iran said it would strike its Arab neighbors if its civilian infrastructure was hit. Before Trump's latest announcement, a senior Iranian official told Reuters Iran's negotiators were willing to attend another round of talks. But throughout Tuesday, Iran said publicly it had yet to agree to attend, while a U.S. delegation led by Vice President J.D. Vance never left Washington. A first session of talks 11 days ago produced no agreement. Washington wants Iran to give up highly enriched uranium and forego further enrichment to prevent it getting a weapon. Iran, which says its nuclear program is peaceful, wants an end to the war, the lifting of sanctions, reparations for damage, and recognition of its control over the strait. Lebanon. Meanwhile, Lebanese authorities reported at least two violations of a U.S.-brokered ceasefire to stop a parallel conflict between Israel and armed group Hezbollah. The Lebanon ceasefire was a condition for Iran agreeing to talks. Overnight, an Israeli drone strike killed one person and wounded two others in Lebanon's western Bekaa Valley, while a later attack on a car in South Lebanon killed 2 people, state media reported. The Israeli military said it was not aware of the first strike. It did not immediately respond for a request to comment on the second. Hezbollah said it fired rockets and drones into northern Israel on Tuesday, saying the Israeli military violated the truce. News in Brief by Danette Beckett. Diaper drive, paper shredding event set. Decatur. A free paper shredding event and diaper drive will be from 10 a.m. to noon Tuesday, April 28th, at the Macon County Farm Bureau, 1150 West Pershing Road, Suite C, Decatur. Up to 5 boxes of confidential papers can be dropped off for shredding at the drive-through event. The packages of diapers and wipes will be donated to local pregnancy resource centers. The free event will be hosted by State Representative Reagan Deering and the Macon County Farm Bureau. For more information, visit repdeering.com or call 217-876-1968. Education. Colleges work to get Stop Out students back. By Aliyah Wong, Associated Press, Washington. After several deaths in her family and an eviction that left her homeless, Javonna Anderson's life began to unravel. By 2025, Anderson, then 59 and nearing completion of her bachelor's degree, was failing classes and falling behind on bills. Eventually, she dropped out, joining a growing group of students who have left college before finishing. Often referred to as stopouts, the group includes about 38 million working-age adults in the U.S. In many cases, they have student loans to pay, but lack a degree to boost their earnings. While many leave college intending to return, few ultimately do. In recent years, however, colleges and local governments have gotten better at helping them get back on track. The number of stopouts re-enrolling has been on the rise, reaching more than 1 million in the 2023-2024 school year, a 7% increase from the year before, according to enrollment data. In Anderson's case, it was a scholarship that made the difference. When she was ready to go back, the money helped her afford to re-enroll at the University of Baltimore. It was so easy for someone my age to stop because I have a lot of professional skills to get a job to continue to just live, said Anderson, who was interested in becoming a teacher. It's bigger than that. College is time-consuming, expensive, and complicated. A small unpaid fee, confusing form, or trouble balancing caregiving, work, health issues, and transportation can be enough to knock students off their path to a degree. Life is always changing. Everybody is going through something, said Nina Diggs-Pindell, a University of Baltimore student who has stopped out several times because of parenting and work responsibilities. Anderson first enrolled at the University in Baltimore in 2019 to pursue a bachelor's degree in environmental sustainability. She dabbled in jobs from fingerprint technician to fitness director, but her career goal crystallized while substitute teaching in city schools. As a kid, Anderson loved playing in the dirt. As an adult, she noticed the absence of green spaces in high-poverty urban communities. She pursued a bachelor's degree so she could perhaps become a teacher and, ultimately, share her environmental passions with children through hands-on learning. I needed to make sure that I get this degree so I can get back to them somehow, some way, said Anderson, now 60. But it was tough for Anderson to juggle her studies and life responsibilities. I'm looking at my grades go from A's and B's to like, what is this? To, I have to take this class again, Anderson said. After a long talk with her student support coordinator, she decided to pause her studies. The stopout population keeps growing overall, even as annual stopouts have declined and re-enrollment has increased, according to data from the National Student Clearinghouse. The number of people who have left in recent years far outpaces that of students who have re-engaged. Still, states are seeing progress, often through intentional efforts to provide financial assistance or remove bureaucratic hurdles like account holds. When Anderson's life stabilized last year and she was ready to re-enroll, she learned through advisors about the university's scholarship program for people close to finishing their degrees, largely funded by the Carnegie Corporation. It helped cover her remaining credits and housing costs. Now she's on the cusp of graduating. Higher education continues to have great unmet potential to help people live better lives. And we're talking about a group of Americans that have already started down to that path. They're close to the finish line, said James Cavall, who served as Undersecretary of Education during the Biden administration and now oversees Carnegie's grant-making in education and democracy. Several states have partnered with a company called ReUp that facilitates re-enrollment through coaching and data tools that allow schools to refine outreach methods. It also matches students with college programs based on their academic history, life circumstances, and employment goals. Many colleges use data to identify people with a high number of credits, emphasizing specific supports that can help them finish their degrees. When Richie Ince launched a stopout scholarship at Colorado's Pueblo Community College about a decade ago, he found many former students left because of what he calls life happens moments. A little nudging in the form of social media ads and personalized outreach, plus a scholarship now worth about $2,000, was often enough to bring students back. We just heard a lot of students say this was the kind of kick in the pants they needed, or that they just needed someone to reach out, said Ince, the college's director of enrollment management. Participants don't get their scholarship money until passing their first semester back with C's or better. That helps to ensure it results in degrees, Ince said. Staff also help returners complete their financial aid application and check in regularly to keep them on track. The scholarship was the help Melody Blair, 55, needed to go back to school for an associate's degree in health information management. She has spent decades working nights at a call center, a job that pays the bills but wears her down. There are days I just want to take the headset off and say no more, she said. Now Blair, who was adopted as a baby, is pursuing a career in the genomic registry field, helping people who don't have access to their own medical histories. It's one of those jobs I know I can wake up and look forward to doing. New Apple CEO focuses on products over tech, by Aditya Soni, Reuters. To understand how Apple's new CEO, John Ternus, will run the company, pay attention to what he refuses to sell. While software rivals at Microsoft and Google are spending hundreds of billions to push artificial intelligence into every corner of their businesses, the man set to lead one of the world's most iconic companies appears to treat AI with a deliberate, almost stubborn pragmatism. "We never think about shipping a technology," Ternus, 50, said in a recent interview about AI with tech review site Tom's Guide. "We always think about how we can leverage technology to ship amazing products." When he succeeds Tim Cook on September 1st, that distinction will matter enormously. Ternus's focus on the product makes him a steward of Apple tradition at a time when the Cupertino-based tech giant has lost its perch as the world's most valuable company to NVIDIA. Apple's delayed rollout of its revamped Siri assistant and its reliance on Google for the AI to power it have led some analysts to question its strategy for the new technology. That has yet to affect iPhone sales, but technology experts say advances in AI could issue a once-in-a-generation change that threatens the smartphone's central role in people's lives. Rivals, including Samsung and OpenAI, are betting that Apple's stumble is an opening. Meta has also found early success with its Ray-Ban smart glasses that come with AI features. The question is whether he has the appetite for the kind of bold, occasionally uncomfortable decisions that defining a new platform requires, said Francisco Geronimo, Vice President of Client Devices at research firm IDC. Building great hardware is a well-defined problem. Building an AI platform that developers and enterprises genuinely adopt is a different challenge entirely. Turnus, a 25-year Apple veteran who started out designing external displays, arrives in the top job with decades of experience as a hardware engineer who has spent his career building the case that the best defense is a better device. In a 2023 interview with Reuters about new Apple products made with recycled materials, Turnus came across as thoughtful and measured, with a detailed grasp not only of how Apple's new products were built, but also of how its supply chains could be ramped up to include more recycled materials across Apple's lineup. That style has shown up offstage too. While returning to his alma mater, the University of Pennsylvania, as the engineering school's undergraduate commencement speaker in 2024, he urged graduates to always assume you're as smart as anyone else in the room, but never assume that you know as much as they do, mixing self-assurance with a dose of humility. He also described his own perfectionism to them, recounting how late one night, early in his career, he found himself arguing with a supplier over the grooves on a screw that goes on the back of a monitor. The screw would rarely be seen by customers, but Turnus had noticed it had 35 grooves instead of the 25 Apple specified. If you're going to spend that much time on something, you should put in your very best effort. Analysts say Turnus is widely respected at Apple and enjoys a strong backing across ranks. Everyone loves him at Apple. All the execs I know speak very highly of him, said Ben Bajaran, an analyst at Creative Strategies. By prioritizing devices over pure software, the new CEO has more in common with Apple co-founder Steve Jobs than with his immediate predecessor. Jobs was similarly uninterested in technology for its own sake, famously saying, "You've got to start with the customer experience and work back toward the technology, not the other way around." Turnus, who worked under Jobs early in his Apple career, promised on Monday to keep leading the values and vision that have come to define this special place for half a century. He has overseen some of Apple's most consequential hardware, from the iPad to AirPods. He more recently introduced the ultra-thin iPhone Air and MacBook Neo, a laptop that starts at $599, a price made possible by using the same chip as the iPhone 16 Pro. One of Turnus's biggest tests came when he steered the Mac laptop line onto processors Apple designed itself, ending more than a decade of reliance on Intel and marking a big bet by the company often accused of playing it too safe. The move has boosted Mac performance and battery life, sparking a resurgence in sales in recent years. Recalling the thinner, faster Macs the new chips made possible, Turnus told CNBC in 2023 that it was almost like the laws of physics had changed. Bird flu, Moderna vaccine in late-stage trial. Reuters. Moderna says it started a late-stage study of its experimental bird flu vaccine in the U.S. and the U.K., marking the first time a pandemic bird flu vaccine made with mRNA technology reached late-stage trials. The U.S. drug maker's vaccine, known as mRNA-1018, will be tested on about 4,000 healthy adults aged 18 and older. It is supported by a $54 million investment from the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, a global partnership working to accelerate the development of vaccines against epidemic and pandemic threats. CEPI's investment in December followed U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s decision last May to cancel more than $700 million in contracts with Moderna to develop a bird flu vaccine to protect against a potential future pandemic. The technology, which was used to develop COVID-19 vaccines, is seen as a more rapid method of developing vaccines against emerging viruses with pandemic potential. Moderna chief executive Stéphane Bancel said bird flu remains a pandemic threat, and the study marks an important step in efforts to improve preparedness for future outbreaks. The company said Tuesday, any future filing for regulatory approval of mRNA-1018 also would be supported by positive data from its separate seasonal flu vaccine candidate, mRNA-1010, which is under review in the U.S., the European Union, Canada, and Australia. Under its agreement with CEPI, Moderna said if the vaccine is approved and a flu pandemic is declared, it would set aside 20% of its manufacturing capacity to supply low and middle-income countries at affordable prices. Home Coffee Brewing Up by Marcella Teixeira, Reuters, New York. Remote working and the need to save money are leading to an increase in coffee consumption at home in the United States, a reversal of a pre-pandemic trend of increasing consumption at cafes, according to industry data and analysts. A new survey from the U.S. National Coffee Association showed 85% of the people in the country who said they drank coffee in the past day did it at home, the highest amount on that classification since 2012. The survey also showed that among those declaring they drank coffee out of home, most said it was at their offices or in transit, drive-through, with a smaller part saying they walked into a coffee shop. Hybrid lifestyles with less commuting and the economic pressure felt by part of the population are two major factors driving the increase in home consumption of coffee, said Gerd Müller-Pfeiffer, a former Nestle executive and now an advisor to the coffee industry. Coffee prices in the U.S. remain historically high after production shortfalls in major producing nations drove prices to record highs late last year. A third factor for increased home consumption, Müller-Pfeiffer said, is equipment quality. Home machines now deliver near out-of-home quality, he said. Despite the changes in how coffee is consumed in the United States, the world's largest market for the beverage, the number of people said they had coffee in the past day was stable at 66% of survey respondents, said the NCA, more than any other beverage, including bottled water. U.S. coffee drinkers consume an average of 2.8 cups per day, resulting in more than 500 million cups of coffee served every day in the country. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, April 23rd, 2026. Please stay tuned.